Well, how are you doing this morning? You had a good weekend? Yesterday we decided we should go to the beach because it's probably the last warm day. Fall is now here. So we hung out at the beach. We were going to make a sandcastle, but we got distracted by all these shells, which I didn't know were even on our beach. There were little clam shells everywhere, and we were collecting them. And it was a cool time to be with my family, relaxing. If you've been with us through the summer, Danny taught on this. How to relax, how to rest in God's presence. And we just had a morning of worship, sitting on the beach, enjoying the sun and the heat and the presence of God. I hope you had a chance to experience that recently in your life. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and reach for it. Turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I have a good friend. I had a good friend. I don't know how you say it. There was a gentleman that taught me how to be a pastor, how to be in ministry. His name was Dave Wood. He ended up being my dad's best friend, which is kind of fun. My dad and I are close friends. And I worked under him for 7 years in ministry. He was a great man of God that I would always come to with all of my questions. Even when we came to this church, Lisa and I were brand new to this lead pastor role. I had always been in music before that, or youth, or kids. And I would phone Dave sometimes weekly. I'm like, Dave, would you give me some advice? And here's a fun thing. In the church that I worked under him, he was the announcements pastor. He did a lot more. He was the executive pastor. He led most of the leadership training. But he, on Sunday morning, often got to be the guy like Danny today and came up and shared all of the announcements. And he would always start his announcements with this. The church is not a building. You did not come to a building this morning. The church is not a building. The church is not even a place to gather, when often we think it is. Welcome to church. No, that is not the church. The church is not a building. The church is a people. It's a group of people. You are the church. We together are the church. And every Sunday morning, Dave would come up and he would say, the church is not a building, we are the church. To the point where Caitlin, when she was 2, she would sit there in the service and she would yell it out as he's walking on the stage. And the 2,000 people in the room would all giggle and laugh because she knew exactly what Dave was teaching. The church is not a building, we are the church. So grab your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5. I felt God put this message on my heart to share with you, and I want to read a passage of scripture that is typically used for marriage counseling in relationships, but I believe something deeper is going on, not just in the natural, but in the supernatural. Something deeper is going on regarding the church. So the foundation I want to look at today is, who is the church? Who is the church? Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start with verse 21. This is what the Bible says. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and he cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Here we go, verse 32. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let's pray. Jesus, would you take the words that we are given today, this passage about you and your church, and an example of us in our marriages, people here with husbands and wives. God, would you take these words and would you apply them to our hearts, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge, but it would be heart knowledge, something we lived out. In your name, amen. I want you to take a few minutes today, and I hope you're taking notes. If you're one of those jot it down kind of people, take notes for this. I want to talk to you for a few moments about this thought. The bride of Christ is the church. I'm one of these kinds of people that grew up not just around church. I grew up in the church, right? I guess in this context, in the church, in the family of the church. My family was very involved. We came to church on Monday night for a prayer meeting. We came to Tuesday night to work on Kids Club. We came to Wednesday night, which was a midweek Bible study. On Thursday night, we were involved in the worship practice. Friday night, it was youth group. And sometimes on Saturday, we'd have a night off, but generally, we were at someone in the church's house. Like, I grew up in the church every night of the week. Mom and Dad, when I was 2 and 3, they would lose me, and they'd be like, where's David? Because he's sleeping underneath some pew somewhere within the church building. I grew up in the church family. And what I learned about being in the church is that if you're not careful, you can get lost and caught up in doing church. And you forget to be the church. And maybe you're here today and you're wondering, what is this whole thing with the church? Like, David, seems like the church. You're talking about the church. You're pretty determined, pretty excited about what the church is. Well, the church is something that God came up with. It comes from this Greek word found in the New Testament. The word is, maybe you've heard it before, ecclesia. And I love this word, ecclesia, because ecclesia speaks about the gathering or the assembly of believers. In Greek, the word church is ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. We are the church, which means the church is not a place, but the church is a people. Church isn't about where. It's about who. You and I, we are called to be the church. And the purpose of God has always been threefold. If you read through the Bible, the first thing is that there is first ministry to God. That's when we gather together. We are to minister to God. We set up a stage. We have a band. We put on the lights. We put on a concert. And it's not for you sitting in the congregation. The concert is for Jesus, for God, our King. We're to praise and bless the name of Jesus. And that's why we open up our services that way here at Five Corners. Because we want you to participate with us as we give praise to God. It's a concert for Him. We're worshiping Him. When we lift Him up, it changes things. The psalmist, he said this, "O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His holy name." I want to bless the name of God because when Pastor David magnifies the name of Jesus, then the influence that he has grows bigger in my life. The more I magnify God, the more that he is bigger in my life. So as you're sitting there listening to me, I have this question. What are you magnifying today? Are you coming with all of your problems, all your worries, all your concerns, your complaints? Or are you magnifying the answer? Because his name is Jesus. But the purpose of the church, it's not just ministry to God. That's where we start. It's also ministry to other believers. And I love this because when we come to church, what I'm doing right now for you talking into this microphone, and you don't have to use a microphone, but what I'm doing right now is called preaching. Preaching. Preaching means to proclaim. And it's different than a lot of other things that happen out in the world. Like you can turn on the internet and you can watch a TED Talk. And there's a guy standing on a stage with dim lighting and a cool setup behind him. And he's talking on his little red circle. But that's not preaching. He might be teaching something, but he's not proclaiming in the same way. The Bible talks about there's power in our preaching. We're listening to someone open up God's word and proclaim the truth of God. And the Bible says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us that are being saved, it is the power of God. And here's what I love about our God. All of us can be on different stages, different steps, different levels in our faith journey. But God is so big that he can speak intimately to each and every one of us. And as we listen and understand, God can speak to us. Well, the third purpose, the third ministry of the church is first to God, second to each other, and third to the world. It's not just ministry to God and ministry to believers. You and I, as we gather on Sunday, we do those things, but then we are to scatter in the rest of the week. And we're supposed to be the church at work, at home, at play. Be the church at school. Be the church in our neighborhood, reaching out with the blessed practices. And it was Jesus that said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Don't you love that idea? We're to be such an alive, such a focused church that we're literally rescuing people from hell. How fun is that? And as you study God's word, what you find out about the ecclesia, the church, is that it's explained with lots of different metaphors. And today in the passage we read, Paul used the metaphor that we are the body of Christ, that every one of us has a function. And he'll talk about this idea that we're the building of Christ. You and I, we're living stones being laid upon one another to build a home for our God. And yet one of the most peculiar metaphors that's used in the Bible, and I've always found it interesting, is that you and I together, the Christians, we are called the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Like, have you ever wondered why we're called the bride of Christ? Why is the church a bride? My wife Lisa, she's teaching Sunday school now. But my wife Lisa and I, this year we are married 22 years. Mm-hmm. We got married when she was 20. We were in church. We met each other. I was leading worship at a young adults conference, and she was just one of the university students that came to it. We met each other there. So, young people, there's a lot of good reasons to come to church. That's one of them. You find someone who has similar values pointing towards God. There you go, Malcolm and Irene. The same story. We met at church. My wife is my partner. She is everything to me. We've been doing life together. We're in ministry together. We have a family together. And I was thinking, it would be crazy if you ever came up to me and you were like, hey David, like, I love you, man. Like, we can be friends. I'm all for you. Like, I got your back. Anything that you need, like, I'll be right behind you. I'll be in there with anything you need. But I got to be honest with you. I don't really like Lisa very much. Like, how many of you know, if you came to a conversation like that, I'd be like, I got a problem with the beginning of this relationship. Right? Like, how can you say that you have my back? How can you love me and then be like, yeah, but I'm not really for your wife. Yet, I have known so many Christians. I've met so many of them, and they're like, I love Jesus, but I can't do the church thing. I love Jesus, but I don't like his church. They tell me, well, you don't have to be, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Church is boring. Church is full of hypocrites. And see, I think if we would just stop and reflect a little bit more on what we're saying and understand who we are as a church, we would never see these kinds of things. Because if we're the bride of Christ, there's just no way to say, I love Jesus,
be the king of my life, but I don't want to be the church. That's like saying, I love you, Jesus, but I don't like your wife. And I know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It's not one of the stipulations. There aren't these steps that you have to do to become a Christian. I understand that for the qualifications. But if you love Jesus, if you're a Jesus follower, why would you not want to be part of his family? Church is boring. Don't ever say that. I've never heard my kids say it. Church isn't boring. It's because you and I are the church. So unless you're boring, and I do my best not to be boring in every situation, if the church is boring, it's your own fault. Really, that's what you're saying. If the church is full of hypocrites. Well, yeah. That's why I'm here. I wouldn't be here if it was not full of hypocrites, because I wouldn't be allowed in. Because I can't do it. I can't follow all of these one another's and submit everything to God and not make me the center of my own circle and change my worldview to be his when, of course the church is, are you just getting this? Paul even said it, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, he says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I do want to do, and wow, that's confusing, and he's saying, I'm a hypocrite, I'm in the club, and I need a savior. Listen, I don't come to church to be reminded of my weaknesses, so I'm not going to go on about this. I come to church instead to be reminded of his strength. My God provides grace so that I can walk out my faith. So, in all of this story, in all of this conversation, what does it mean for the church to be called the bride of Christ? Well, let's look at three things in this passage, in Ephesians 5. The first reason, Paul says this. This is what he says. He says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And I think the first word that I want to talk about is this word, intimacy. Have you ever, dissected that word? Intimacy. Can you say it? Intimacy. I really believe that the first reason we're called the bride of Christ is because God wants intimacy with you and me. Of all the things that we could be compared to, we're compared to a bride. And I don't know if there's a more intimate place on the planet than the marriage bed, right? Little kids, plug your ears. Than the marriage bed between a husband and a wife. God is saying, this is the kind of intimacy that I want in my relationship with the church. I want to be that close. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, dude, this is not a message for me. I get it. It's kind of getting weird. I'm not really into God romancing me, God calling me his bride. This is strange. And it's probably because you're a man, and don't worry. There's a difference between something literal and a metaphor. This is a metaphor. God is talking about one thing in place of another thing to bring understanding into our life. The bride idea, it's not a literal thing, it's a metaphor. God is trying to find something good on this earth, something that we understand, something that we see, and he's using that to show, to be the example of how much he is connected with us. The level of intimacy that he wants with you. And real intimacy in that strong marriage is all about trust. I love our church. I want your lives to flourish. I want your businesses to flourish. I want your marriages to flourish. And I appreciate how you are growing along with us as we step out. But as much as I love the church, I love my wife in a completely different way. And what if God is saying, I want to know you in a completely different way? What if God is inviting you to know him in a different way, in an intimate way, in a way that's full of trust? Trust, this, I like this idea of intimacy. Into me see. See the real me. Come into and see me. I'm sure you've seen this in dating relationships. Maybe you've been there. And we date the projected self. And we tend to marry the actual self. When people are dating, they put on their best version. You clean up before you meet, you brush your teeth, you put on your best behavior. Guys get that pit stick in there, girls get the awesome perfume on, stretch those eyelashes, put the makeup. You look your best, you smell your best, you act your best. You clean up before you meet. And then when you meet, you talk about all the things that you like. You focus on the things that you have in common. You date the projected self. And then one day you get the ring on and you wake up and you go, whoa, like, where did that come from? Because the actual self shows up. And what God is saying to us is that he's not interested in the projected you. He's saying this, I love the real you. I want to know the real you. I don't mean the church Sunday morning, put on my fancy dress, and I come to church with my plastic smile on. That's not what the version of you he's looking for. He's into the real you, the authentic you. He wants intimacy. And I believe that God calls us the bride because he wants to know us. He wants us to know him in an intimate way. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Paul continues and he says that Christ gave himself up for her, that we might be holy and blameless and blemish-free, wrinkle-free, that we would be a pure bride. And I think the first reason we're called the bride is for intimacy. But the second is for protection. Everyone say protection. Good, you're still with me. I believe that God is saying that the church is protected by our Father. And as you read the text, this is one of those controversial parts in Scripture because the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. And now notice it doesn't say women submit to men. And it doesn't say women submit to all husbands. It says, wives, submit to your husband. And I see a lot of women get really upset about this, but read the next part of Scripture, because this is big. It says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I don't know who got the shorter end of the deal, right? Like women, you have to submit to your husband. But guess what? Like, I have to die for Lisa. Like, girls, submit. Guys, you got to die. We both have a responsibility here. And the question is, ladies, can you be a girl who's worth dying for? And men, can you be a man that's worth submitting to? Don't you love our kids? I think they're doing a memory verse. You see, Paul is writing and he's saying, Christ loved the church so much that he died for the church. And I know you look at me and, like, I'm pretty dangerous, right? Yeah, like, if we met in the alley and we had a tussle, like, you probably think I'm a skilled fighter, right? Yeah, like, no, not true. There's a lot of reasons why I'm not into fighting. Like, there's not a secret skill that I have that I just hide under my t-shirt. No, one reason is I think about this, and I think, there's these guys that actually know moves of how to put you in submission, right? Like, I can imagine being out in the dark alley one night in the city where I shouldn't be, and the next thing you know, this guy comes out and is, like, in my face, and we get in this little tussle, and this guy does this twist thing, and suddenly I'm the shape of a pretzel. Like, that's not something I'm doing. I'm smarter than that. I can get out of it with a conversation. I don't want that problem because I am not a fighter. Not at all. But friend, mark my words. If you mess with my wife, like, there's a whole nother thing going on there in my story. Like, you mess with my wife. If you come to bring harm to her, I am prepared. I am ready by any means necessary to step in the middle and get in the way of that and protect my wife, because she is my God-given responsibility, and I will do the things that I need to do, even die for her if I have to. And you see, this is how much God loves you. He's stepped in the gap so many times that we don't even know. It's not until we get to heaven on the other side of eternity that we'll find out just how many times God stepped in the gap and he protected you and me. That's why when you come to church, you don't have to wait for someone to pump you up. You don't have to wait for the worship team to play your favorite song. You should come with into God's house and lift up your holy hands and start worshiping God, because you know that he has shown up so many times this week and stood in the gap for you that you don't need someone else to put you there, because you already know what God has done. This is good theology. Because right in the smack in the middle of Ephesians 5, Paul gives the gospel. How do I know that God will protect you? Like, when we read that, how do I know God will protect you? Because he already did. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he walked on this earth and he died a sinner's death. And in fact, he died your death. He took your place. He took my place on a cruel cross. He died the death to take the punishment of sin, and he took the curse of sin. And when he died, and now today you get to be called spotless. You are called blameless. You are called righteous. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. You are a spotless, blemish-free bride. That's called grace. He protected you. He protected me. He chose us to be his bride. So, the first reason we're called his bride, I think, is for intimacy. The second reason we're called his bride is for protection. And the last reason is that we could have rights because of Jesus. Paul continues in this passage, and he said this: "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And he said, "This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." We have rights. Let me unpack it a little bit. We're one with Jesus. It's just like a married woman. Like when I married Lisa, her last name changed from Thompson to Naden. She took on my last name. She had this new level of access. She got to be on my bank account. She got to be on my insurance with my car. She got to be in my family. Everything that I had, everything associated with my name, was now hers. So it's no longer my car. It's no longer my house. It's no longer my money. It's not my paycheck. It's ours. This is our house. People come to our home and they're like, "Hey, let's go visit the Nadens." They don't say, "Let's go visit David and his wife." I mean, they could, but they don't. They say, "Let's go visit the Nadens." It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8. He said this: "If you and I, if we're willing to share in Christ's suffering, then guess what? We also get to share in his glory." If we're willing to share Christ's suffering, we get to share in his glory. And I have good news today for the Church of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, when you put your trust, when you put your faith in him, all of a sudden you get the exact same rights that he has. Today, you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And when you pray, according to the book of James, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Like, get that. We're watching The Chosen as a family. Kind of fun to take my kids through these Bible stories where you can see someone's interpretation of it. And Jesus just says these things, and they happen. And that's it. And they're standing there, the disciples, they're like dumbfounded. They're like, "He could just speak and it happens?" Like that's what you and I get to have. Because we have Christ's authority, because he's given it to us, because we are his bride. And everything that he has, we get to share with. So we get to speak those kinds of things. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Spirit in Jesus' name. Wow. And I'm so thankful today that I'm not standing on my own righteousness, but I'm standing on Christ's righteousness. I'm not the self-righteous man that I used to be, because my righteousness will not take me anywhere, but His righteousness. When you pray, God hears the prayers of Jesus. So I want to challenge you, church. It's a challenge. It's time to rise up like never before. I believe that the best is yet to come. Let's not get lost in doing, church, but instead, let's declare and decide in the Spirit that we're going to be the church. And we've just learned who we are. We're the ecclesia. The building could come down, but praise God, God still rules and reigns, and we are His bride. We have intimacy. We have protection. We have rights because of Jesus Christ. God's calling for us is not what happens for an hour or so inside the building. God has called you to be a Jesus follower. Please come to church. But that's not where it ends. We're not looking for more people to come to church, although that is nice. What God wants for His church is for us to be active in the world. Yeah, and maybe you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, I'm a follower of Jesus. And yeah, I'm attending church. But I'm not actively engaged as the church. I know, I've been there. I sat there and I was like, doing my duty, doing my job. I showed up. I don't know. If we're cleaning the kitchen at home and my kids just show up, like we're on them. Come on, Elizabeth, get in there. Allison, quit wandering and get your hands dirty. Caitlin, you're distracted. And I wonder if we get stuck there. Maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, I'm a follower of Jesus, and yeah, I attend church, but I'm not actively engaged as the church. I believe God wants us to use all of our gifts. I believe that God wants all of us praying and using our faith, and I believe that God wants all of us to reach out, to invite people to become followers of Jesus, to be active in this church. And I believe God wants us all to be engaged in life together. Deeply committed community around God's word. And so today, here's what I want. Here's our response. Today I want you to take a step of faith. Take a step forward. For you to say, I'm here. I come, but I'm not completely engaged. I'm not all in. And so I recognize that there is more. There's more. And I'm not only talking about task. Like, there's more for me to be part of the church. I know that God hasn't just created me to come to a service, to just show up and be that presence. He hasn't just called me to volunteer and do a task. He's created me to be His church, to represent His love, to use my gifts, to make a difference in this world. And if you say yes, I want to take a step, even one more step more towards God's church, to be His church, use my gifts and make a difference. If that's you sitting there thinking this through and going, yeah, it's time. It's time. Then would you pray with me right now? God, I pray today that there would be a people that don't leave the building without talking to someone. That us here, we would say, Jesus, where can I get involved? How can I make a difference? And God, I pray that there would be divine connections, that we would meet people, that we would do life together, that they would reach out and they say, plug me in, use me, I want to volunteer. I want to pray. I want to know these people. I want to be in conversations. I want to have people in my home. I want to go into homes. I want to know your people and love your people and be engaged as the church. God, help us never to just go to church, but instead to be your church. The church for which Jesus died, showing your love all over this world. So, God, as we pray, we commit to this church family. We know there's a dozen other places we could go. But today we commit to this church, this family, that we would lose our sporadic attendance. We wouldn't just come once in a while and call it committed, but we would come every time. We would participate in everything we're called to do. We would become a helper, become a member, become a participator. Jesus, we know how it works. We're broken people. We started. I'm a hypocrite. God, we're sitting here going, I can't do this on my own. So would you give us a love for the church? The same love that you have. So our heart reflects yours, and we magnify more of you in more of us. And together we have this close relationship, intimacy, protection, righteousness, because of who you are and what you've done, and that we reflect you. So today I commit that to you. God, stir my heart to be yours, your bride, your church, your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're sitting there going, oh, where do I start? Where do I start? I got an easy one for you. We have this thing called the Welcome to the Family course. If you're just visiting and you're like, whoa, this guy's serious about this corner. Yeah, I think this is probably the second best thing that you could ever do in your life. After you decide Jesus is in charge, to come and be part of his family. So, Welcome to the Family is a course that Pastor Danny leads. It's 3 weeks after Sunday. Go and talk to him. We'll plug you into it. It's just information and participation and the experience of this thing that I talked about all morning. This is what church looks like. If you are already part of our church family and you are one of those amazing people that participates, we have something for you as well, because often the things we teach about on Sunday morning are things for everybody, and they're not those deep, deep, deep things that sometimes we have questions about. So I want to invite you to tomorrow night, Monday night, we are having a discipleship class. We are going through some crazy deep theology, and we're gonna share, and we're gonna love, and we're gonna practice the one another's and be the church as we learn together all about atonement, like the stuff we do at communion. So here's the response I am requesting from you in both of these things. Join the Welcome to the Family. Find out more about us, where you can be involved. Talk to Pastor Danny. And if you're past that, come to Monday night as we grow together, learn together in sanctuary sessions. So, with all of that, today be blessed. Normally we have an altar call, and today I felt you need to go home and think about this. This is not a response at a stage, it's a response with your life. So go and think about it, go and talk about it, go and ask each other, where are you involved? How are you the church? Because I want to be part of what you got. With that, be blessed. See you either at the class or Monday night or next week. Be blessed.